Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this second Sunday of Advent. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel of St. Matthew and talk about our continuing preparation for Advent. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The True Modesty Program of the Diocese of Corpus Christi is designed to educate and help form high school-aged boys and girls into responsible and moral adults. The True Valor component of this program, through speakers, presentations, and open discussion, challenges young men to become men of God. The next True Valor retreat is set for December 14th at St. Joseph's Parish in Alice. For complete information, call the Diocese Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity, 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Barbara. A little warmer, I guess, today. It's been quite cold this week.
I know. We're really feeling the effects of December, but we are very blessed to be in this part of the country.
Yes.
Where we're not getting the Arctic freeze.
Right. Well, like I wouldn't mind a little case of that myself, but that's kind of what I enjoy, but that's not where I am.
That's not where we are. Exactly. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Okay. This is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole country around the Jordan were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, I find that as we're getting closer to Christmas Day and the birth of Jesus, this is kind of a very stark and dramatic gospel. You know, John the Baptist is having a lot of phrases, and it's not as cheerful as we would think during this time when we're looking forward to rejoicing. So doing some research, it said that it's only when we get to the fourth week of Advent are we going to start talking about angels and preparation and for Jesus' birth.
Right. Well, that's a good point, and certainly John the Baptist, his entire role was to prepare the way of the Lord and to open the paths for people's lives to come to the Lord. And, you know, in some ways, I think just by the description of John, he's obviously kind of involved in the world of prophecy. He's, but in a different way, he's kind of the final prophet, you might say, really pointing to Jesus. But as many others, there has to be a preparation to even listen to the Lord in order to perceive who is this person and what is the true voice of God. And this is something that all of us have to deal with. And I think, you know, many times we launch into Advent liturgically in spirit and think, well, we'll just say a few more prayers, we'll light an Advent wreath. But there's a much deeper examination, I think, that needs to go on. And the figure of John the Baptist, to me, in the austere way that he's presented here in the Gospel of Matthew, is kind of an indication of what each one of us should do. Certainly not wearing leather belts around our waist, rather through the hoops of our belts.
Or eating locust.
Fine, or eating locusts and living on that kind of a diet with camel's hair for our clothing, etc. So that kind of austerity is not what we're talking about. But the examination that he really calls us to today is, how do we live in the world that is ours, that we are a part and parcel of, and how do we prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas, but also prepare each day and prepare for the final coming? How are we preparing for that? So what is the world that we're living in? I found it interesting in the new encyclical, which I'm sure many have read, and I would encourage you if you have not, because it is readable. As some people have said, it's the first readable encyclical of a pope that they've ever seen. And in fact, one person told me they couldn't put it down. And it's called Evangelii Gaudium, which is the joy of the gospel. And that's the first words that he starts off with, the joy of the gospel, the joy of living the gospel, the joy of encountering Jesus Christ, whose word the gospel is. But what I wanted to point out as part of this preparation is the second paragraph, where he speaks of today's dangers in the world. And when you really look at it, John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus, but also calling people to repentance, calling them to a new way of life in the midst of the world that they lived in. And so here's the short paragraph that I just want to point out, because I think it does speak to all of us, especially at this time of year. But the Holy Father Francis says that the great danger in today's world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, is the desolation and anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart, the feverish pursuits of frivolous pleasures, and blunted conscience. And that's a lot to absorb, but I'll go back and go through it. Whenever our interior life gets caught up in its own interests and concerns, there is no room for others and no place for the poor. God's voice is no longer heard. The quiet joy of his love is no longer felt, and the desire to do good fades. This is a very real danger for believers too. Many fall prey to it and end up resentful, angry, and listless. That is no way to live a dignified and fulfilled life. It is not God's will for us, nor is it the life in the Spirit, which has its source in the heart of the risen Christ. So to go back and dissect that a little bit, what he's saying, and I think this is really, I mean, I when I read it and thinking of Advent, I thought, you know, this is really John the Baptist.
It's very powerful.
Screaming out to us today. The danger of today is pervaded by consumerism, which means we have to have everything. We go after everything, and our restlessness is about possessing things. But he says this is the desolation and the anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart. So a complacent heart, which means it has just kind of gone asleep. And if you remember, I quoted several times with the pastoral letter of Pope Emeritus Benedict in the Year of Faith, that we've fallen asleep
right.
in our commitment. So he's really picking up that theme too, a complacent heart. We just go through the motions, but yet covetous heart, that we go after frivolous pleasures, and this blunts our conscience. People no longer have a conscience. We live in a world where there's no more conscience. I hate to bring this up during Advent, but I was with a group the other day, and another undocumented immigrant was coming through one of the ranches in South Texas, and they found him dead, 28 years old, looking for a better life, but that brought up the discussion of the way these people are exploited by others to get them across the border, making promises to them that are unreal. But we were talking about that these people have no conscience. And so we live in this world, and that's just one example. Mm-hmm. The drug trade,
the human smuggling.
The human smuggling, all these kind of things. The using of other people for other people's pleasure, and this is a lack of conscience. So I think what the Pope is saying here is very true. We see it. We experience it. People, unfortunately, on a widespread scale, don't have that conscience that is needed. And so John the Baptist, again, is pointing this out, and our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is as well. What it goes on to say in this second paragraph is that whenever our interior life becomes caught up with its own interests and concerns, there's no room for others, there's no room for the poor. Exactly what we're saying. We're so caught up in what we want, what our interest is, what my program is, what I think is right, what my concerns are. There's no room for others. We shut people out of our lives. This is the sin of the world today, is we shut people out. And then he goes on to say, and God's voice is no longer heard either in this situation, and the quiet joy of his love is no longer felt. We no longer feel that God's even present in us, and the desire for us to even do good is gone. So we're so consumed by this covetous heart that wants everything and wants it my way, and we shut everyone out. And we no longer feel God's presence, and we no longer even want to do good. Now, this is, of course, not across the board. We see so much good,
right.
So much good. But we have to be prudent and look at a pervading kind of a society that surrounds us. And then he says, before we get to our break, that many fall prey to this life, and then they end up angry, resentful, and listless without a spirit.
Those are some strong words, but they're very visual words. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Whether you've seen it before or have never experienced the live Nativity story and production at Blessed John Paul II High School, you'll want to go this December 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's already a Corpus Christi tradition. From 6 till 8 each evening, you can take the whole family on a drive through this massive event while enjoying free refreshments. Enter from the Bishop Garriga Middle School parking lot, then on to the Blessed John Paul II High School campus, 3036 Saratoga Boulevard, to witness the story of Mary, Joseph, and the birth of Jesus as depicted by over 200 students. Gates will close promptly at 7:50 each evening, so plan to get there early. Donations will be accepted as you exit the school grounds. The greatest story ever told comes to life at Blessed John Paul II High School, December 9th through 11th. For complete information, call 855-5744.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, you were talking about Pope Francis' encyclical, and you were reading from his, I believe it was his second paragraph.
Right.
And if you want to continue.
Number two, as I say, yeah. Well, I just thought it was just striking the way he's calling out to us, reading the society that we live in. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I again want to stress that there, in the midst of all these things, there's good.
There's
and that's
a lot
what
of good.
Each one of us are called to. But I think it's important, as John the Baptist was speaking out in his society, it's important that we recognize the dangers, the real dangers. In fact, that's the way he starts that paragraph. The great danger of today is that we fall into this consumerism, which brings desolation and complacency in our life, and we're seeking for pleasures that are not there. They're frivolous, as he says, and then we blunt our conscience. We're kind of numb to the needs of others. We begin to shut other people out of our life. We shut God out of our life. We can no longer hear his voice. Then we wonder why God doesn't love us. And these are the real dangers, he says. And he said what it leads to is that people become resentful, angry, and listless. And then he goes on to say, and this is the point I wanted to get to next, he says, and this is the beautiful part, I think, of that one little paragraph. It's so compact with its message. He says, but that is no way to live a dignified and fulfilled life. It is not God's will for us, nor is it the life in the Spirit, which has its source in the heart of the risen Christ. This is not the way to live a dignified life. This is not to be fulfilled. In other words, seeking things for my own self, seeking my own pleasures, seeking my own fame and fortune, whatever it is, shutting everybody else, shutting God out, that's not the way to live a dignified life. And that is preparation for us to continue our Advent. And the next sentence, which is the beginning of number three, paragraph number three, he simply says, I invite all Christians everywhere at this time and at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. That is what Christmas is all about, to encounter Jesus Christ again. And so we have to be prepared and open to that, which means, again, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I think in the times of John the Baptist, it was listening to him. He was calling out to them, to repent, to cry out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, change your lives so that you can encounter him when he comes and thus recognize him.
So, Bishop, how do you suggest we do this? Because several times we've talked about on this program of spending some time alone in quiet and just listening.
Well, it's
5 or 10 minutes and praying, but to listen.
Right. It's a mixture of things. I think certainly that is there. And that is, I think, the beginning and the end of how to prepare. But in the middle, we also have to serve. I may have said this before on the program. I think each one of us should ask ourselves, how am I serving the poor? Who are the poor for me? Where do I see them? Do I disdain them? Do I laugh at them? Do I turn my back on them? Or can I serve them? Can I find a way to serve? There's many agencies, here in Corpus Christi, which serve people in need, serve the poor. I just noticed on the television the other day on the news, shopping with a cop.
Shop
with a cop.
It's a beautiful program.
There's just different programs like that mm-hmm. that just expand the human heart that says, this is my brother or sister who is in need. I mean, I work downtown. I see a lot of people. If you go to Mother Teresa's shelter, you see those same people there. I'll be heading out next week to the prisons up in the Beeville area to say Mass there. You encounter real poverty, but you also encounter a conversion of heart. People who want to change their life, who have encountered Jesus, perhaps the fruit of their difficult and bad choice decisions that they've made, but they're now finding another road, you know, not the road of what's good for me, but also now what's good for others. And so, you know, to be with them is also a great gift to me. So it's that quiet time with Jesus in prayer, quiet time with the Father, recognizing the Father's love for me and for each person that I'm going to meet in whatever service that I'm going to give, and then returning to that prayer spirit at the end and saying thank you. And really, I guess, reflecting on the people that I have served and to say how much of a gift they are to me. So it's not to, it's to put meaning into life, meaning into the things that we do, so that we don't end up as we read earlier, that we're resentful, angry, and listless. You know, I just did what I thought I had to do, and we become angry about it. No, it's got to be a true sense of service. So prayer and service, I guess, to answer your question, to summarize it, prayer and service and prayer, which is all charity, love.
Right. It's a beautiful time of the year to start it, but then to continue it throughout the year, because we see right.
We do a lot of stuff, right?
We see a lot of things this time of the year, but there's still the homeless and the hungry, you know, 12 months out of the year. And start to volunteer during this time to continue it through.
Exactly. We seem to be very generous at this time of year, Thanksgiving through Christmas, but like you said, very, very wisely. And it's the after, you know, when nobody else is watching, when the cameras are off, and it's just doing it because we want to give. That's when it's perhaps takes on a greater meaning and growth for us. You know, going back to the gospel, Barbara, I think there's also the issue of these other people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were coming to his baptism. Mm-hmm. But John evidently read through these people, and you know, it was those, the Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time. But it's also for us today, who we can also be. Scribes and Sadducees, I mean, sorry, Pharisees and Sadducees, in the sense that kind of the keepers of the law, and in other words, we do the right things exteriorly, but maybe our heart's not in it. And John the Baptist and those people of his day saw right through it, and he said that, you know, produce good fruits, show me that you really want to repent. Show me that you really want to enter into this life of the Messiah. Don't just come for show in order to win the praise of others that you've joined, but show me by your good works that you really, really want to repent. And at that point, then, he's really kind of... I would say exposing kind of a false attitude, a false religion, and kind of a listless spirit.
A genuine
conversion.
Right.
So as John is calling people to repentance, he's seeing people that may be coming through the motions, but not really repenting. And that's, again, for us, where do we fall in this call of the church today, during Advent time especially, to change our way of life, to change our heart, to change our spirit, so that it's not just a superficial going through the motions, that we're not living a faith life that is disingenuous, but one that is truly transparent and full of faith, that if the Lord is calling us to this, then why hold back and keep going and doing things the way that I've always done them? Not that anything is wrong, but putting new life into what I'm doing. That, I believe, is really the call of today.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful message for us. I wanted to mention that tomorrow is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I always try to remember, is it a holy day of obligation or is it a feast day?
Well, normally it is a feast day. I mean, it's a holy day of obligation because it fell on a Sunday. So we were at Mass yesterday on Sunday. I'm sorry, today. We're at Mass today on Sunday, which is the 8th. But the feast day has transferred to Monday. And so it is not this year considered a holy day of obligation. However, we are very strongly urged to honor our Blessed Mother. But I would say in this spirit, not that it is just for her honor, because her Immaculate Conception is so linked to the feast that we are about to celebrate, which is the birth of Christ, that she was prepared through her own Immaculate Conception, that she herself, and this is the meaning of the dogma, that she herself was conceived without sin, preparing her then to receive the Lord at the Annunciation. So we have to link this all to the mystery of Christ, that she was longing for that new life. She was longing for the Messiah, and God chose her. The Father chose her to, from her own birth, from the moment of her own birth and conception, from the time of her conception, I should say, was conceived in the womb of her mother, Anna, without sin, preparing her for her yes to the Lord's invitation to give her life to him. So it certainly is something that we should take to heart and that we should celebrate very, very well this year as well.
And there will be masses, I'm sure, in each
sure,
one of
in
our
each
parishes.
Of the parishes. Absolutely.
Yeah, so just
right,
look at their
right, sure.
at whatever their bulletin is
okay.
today. Thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our segment this morning with a prayer and a blessing for us.
Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.